Welcome to Hope City Church, Melbourne, Australia. Stay tuned for another inspiring message by Pastor Andrew McGrath.
Psalm 84. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, it even faints, for the courts of the Lord. This is a secret place, the writer is saying. I'm so hungry, Lord, to go to that place where I connect with you. My heart and my flesh, they sing for joy for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home. The sparrow is a picture of the most insignificant bird. It's a picture of those that feel like they've got no purpose, no significance. And he's saying here that if that's the way you feel, the way to discover purpose and significance is to go to the secret place. Because only God knows your design. Only God has the plan for your life. You can't discover it anywhere else. The psalmist says, even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for himself. What's the picture of the swallow? The swallow darts here and there. It's a picture of restless activity. If you're restless today, if you're bouncing from this to that, if your mind's all over the place, if you go from one bright idea to another, if you can never settle, the psalmist is saying the secret for significance and rest is found in the secret place. Where she may lay her young, even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. And we could say it this way, blessed is every man and every woman that discovers their secret place. They will still be praising you. Blessed is the man or the woman whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Now here's the concept. That pilgrimage is this, that I am going to enter into the courts and make my way through the holy place and into the holy of holies. I have set my heart on accessing all that God has for me. How about you today? It's what Dean shared today. I want to discover everything about God. He goes on to say in verse 10, listen carefully, for one day in your court, one day in the secret place is better than a thousand. Did you hear me? Yes. Do you know that word better is the Hebrew word tobah? It means to be prosperous, happy, loved, favored. It's a manifestation of all God's undeserved benefits. And he's saying one day in the secret place is more prosperous, happy, blessed than a thousand days, 3 years elsewhere. Remember I said 1 hour of intimacy with the Lord, of meditation is worth 100 hours of toil. Let me ask you a question. If you really want to be successful, have you ever considered the best way to do it? He said better is it to have been one day in the secret place than 1,000 days striving, toiling, strategizing, working, all this sort of stuff. He says, stop doing that. The secret is in the secret place. If you get this right, better one day, more prosperous, more happy, everything. It all comes out of the secret place. Yeah. That's good. Are you getting this? Yeah. I'm harping on this because we don't live like that. The secret place is an afterthought. It's something that most Christians don't cultivate. They're restless like we read, they feel insignificant, they don't know God's plan. It's because they haven't cultivated a secret place. It's tragic for any believer to get to heaven and not know how to enter into the secret place. The 12 tribes set up around the tabernacle. And the tabernacle, the Jews referred to the front gate, the linen gate, as the way. They referred to the holy place as the truth, and they referred to the holy of holies as the life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's the pattern into the secret place. And I want you to notice that surrounding the tabernacle is a linen curtain. And every time we go back into this, I'm going to show you different aspects as we walk in. Try and keep it interesting. But surrounding this tabernacle is a linen curtain. And we know that linen is a picture of righteousness. And as we look at the linen curtains, they are 5 cubits high, which is about 9 feet high. And they were set that way because the Bible says that God's righteousness is like the mighty mountains. It's so high. And it's a picture because man is outside and God is inside. The Bible says that all have fallen short of the glory of God. So man can't see in because God's righteousness is a physical, spiritual barrier. We can't get in and we need to be able to get in. And the barrier is that we, if we don't know Jesus, aren't righteous. We can't come into his presence. The only way you come in is that you receive the righteousness of Jesus. So the tabernacle is a picture to all of Israel encamped around that there's a barrier called the righteousness of God, and you've got to find a way to come through that. Does that make sense? So at the gate, you see a linen gate. You can see that pattern gate at the front, and it has 4 columns that stretch across. This gate, I am the way, is Jesus. And the 4 columns are also a picture of the Gospels that spread out Jesus for all the world to see, that he is the way to come in. I want you to notice too about the gate, that's the same height as all of the walls. And that tells us something, that Jesus measured up for you. He measured up. He fulfilled all of the law. He's the only one that ever was able to reach the exacting standards of God. You can't do it. Only Jesus can do it. That's why the only way to the Father is through the Son. He's the only one that can measure up. And when you get born again, you get his nature in you. You get his very righteousness. And it's not just for one day. You get it forever. The moment you get born again. Isn't it amazing? And so when I come into the secret place each day, what I am thinking is that I enter into his gates with thanksgiving. I thank you, Jesus, that you measured up for me. I could never get to the Father, but you came for me. And you've given me now your righteousness. And I thank you. As I enter into communion with you today, I begin with thanksgiving. Yeah. We enter into his courts then with what? With praise. Isn't this amazing? But see, as they enter into those gates, I want you to notice the directions, because the gate was called the Eastern Gate. So to walk into the tabernacle, you have to be going in the direction of west, correct? The gate's on the east, and so to walk through the gate, you're walking westward. And as you progress in your walk, as you keep going into the secret place, the holy place, the holy of holies, you continue to walk westward. Why is this important? Because as you study the scripture, right from the very beginning, when man turned his back on God, he always walked eastward. When he was thrown out of the garden, see, the garden is a place, a picture of the secret place. When man was cast out of the garden, he walked eastward, didn't he? He walked through the gates, the eastern gates, and there was a guard put up there. When Cain was cast out of the presence of God, he walked eastward. When they built the Tower of Babel, it was because they walked eastward to that direction. When Abraham decided to follow God, he stepped out in faith, obedient to God. But here's the thing. You can have your face turned towards God in obedience and be walking towards him, but be carrying things in your life that have their back towards God. And so Abraham goes and he begins to follow the Lord, but we all know that he carried something alongside him that he should never have taken. He took Lot. And the Bible says that God caused strife to occur in his life. Is there any strife going on? Sometimes, not always, but sometimes, because God is trying to get rid of things that have turned their backs on God that are in your life. So the predominant aspect of Abraham was obedience, but he carried things that he wasn't willing to release to God, things that were not having their face towards God, that were rejecting him. So the moment he released Lot, what did Lot do? When Lot left Abraham, the Bible says he looked eastward. And he chose the plains that looked like the garden of the Lord, that looked like Egypt. And he went to Sodom and Gomorrah. And the moment he released Lot, Abraham was able to see his future. I suggest to you that maybe there are things in your life that aren't facing God, that actually have turned their back on God. And this whole thing is that God is wanting us to place our face towards the secret place, towards Him. And whenever we turn our back, see, the Bible says in Ezekiel that there were priests that went into the holy place. Imagine this. They went into the holy place and they turned their back from God in the Holy of Holies, and they began to worship the sun that rises in the east. I mean, I don't have time to go on it, but look what happens in the plagues where God sends the locusts from the east. And when God delivers Egypt from the locusts, He sends a westward wind. And so we are people that have our face towards the west, because the west in the Bible is always a picture of blessing and prosperity. So your position is one of westward, that we have our eyes on God. Everything that we have, we are looking to be those that pilgrim, that walk towards God. And God's putting His finger on every area of your life where there's aspects that have their back turned away from God. You see, they were worshiping the sun because they believed that the sun, Ra, the sun god, was the very source of their blessing and security. And any aspect in your life where you are relying on natural ability, on things of this world to sustain you and bless you and protect you, you've turned your back on God. And the Bible says that God was so in pain. Jeremiah 2:27, He says, "They have turned their backs unto me and not their face." I suggest to you that coming into the tabernacle is returning to the Garden of Eden. Instead of going eastward, we turn around and we say, "Lord, we're coming back to that secret place." Don't you want to be like that? I don't want to have an east walk. I want a west walk. I want everything about me to come into the presence of God, to allow Him to be Lord of my life, to adjust my soul and my spirit, everything about me. I want to surrender them to Him. See, your posture, your direction is so important. See, you can have areas of your life that are surrendered, and the majority of your life could be directed westward, but it's the areas that are directed eastward that worship the things of this world that will get you in trouble. So we go into the tabernacle and we see the bronze altar. There's a picture of it on the screen. It's a picture of where, as we come through the gates and our hearts are set on pilgrimage, on going into the secret place, we see this brazen altar, and it's a picture of the sacrifice of Jesus. We won't spend long here today, but we talked about this last week. It's the picture of all that Jesus did for us. And so as I come into the secret place, this is a physical model of what we can do to help us enter in. So I picture it in my mind. So I come into the gates. Thank you for measuring up. And this doesn't have to be the only routine. It's just a pattern. And mind you, this pattern is based on the pattern in heaven. So I say, "Thank you, Jesus, that you gave your body for me. Thank you that you are the aroma in heaven that has satisfied the Father's heart." So we go from the brazen altar, and then we go into the, anybody know next? The lava, the bronze lava. It was Exodus 38, verse 8. And this is an amazing place. And this was made up of mirrors that the women had given over to for the sake of the tabernacle. And so when they would wash their hands and their feet, they would be able to see their reflection. Now, this is a really interesting piece because the bronze laver is a place of examination and awareness. And two things happened. They had a once-for-all wash there, and they had a daily wash. So what does this mean? Moses would bring all the priests, and the first time they came into the tabernacle, he would wash all of their bodies and pronounce them clean. They were washed by another once and for all. Hebrews says the same thing, that we were washed, we were forgiven once and for all. We were washed by another. Peter, when he's about to be, his feet washed, he wants Jesus to wash all of him. And Jesus says, "You don't need that, Peter, for you have already been washed and you are clean, but you need your feet washed." So they had this once and for all wash, And after that, they would daily come in after they'd sacrificed on the bronze altar, and they would begin to wash daily. They would wash their hands and their feet. That tells me that through salvation and baptism, my salvation is secure once and for all. I don't need to be worried about it. I'm not coming into the tabernacle and wondering whether I'm saved or not, whether I'm forgiven or not. That's once and for all. It is a done deal. But the issue is, when I look into that bronze laver, I'm seeing a reflection of myself. Remember I said last week, this is a place, the holy place, where God begins to deal with our soul. The things that we believe about ourselves that aren't true. And we look in the reflection of that laver and we begin to see some things that we don't like. Jesus is the way, and now he's going to become the truth in our life. And we look into that holy place, and there's another picture on the screen, and we see a curtain, and there's five pillars. And on the pillars, what is interesting in the holy place is they are made of wood, but they're covered in gold with a gold capstone, which presents to us the fact that you are made righteous. Your standing is righteous and clean. You are a born-again believer, a son and daughter of the Lord. But the base of these pillars were bronze, and it told us this, that there are areas in our soul that need to be judged. You will no longer be judged as whether you're a believer or not a believer, a son or not a son. That was done at the altar, the brazen altar. But as you come into the holy place, what's going to be judged are the false identities and mindsets that you have picked up that God wants to get rid of. Are you hearing me? That's why I said to you the other week that, and I'm just trying to find the scripture, 1 Corinthians 3 verse 11, and this is a profound statement. Everything that doesn't exist in you, let me put it this way, what God doesn't know doesn't exist. Everything about you that God doesn't know doesn't exist. Anything that's false that you've believed doesn't exist in the mind of God, and it will be burnt by fire. The Bible says that when we get to heaven, everything that's false about the way we think, feel, and choose shall be burnt by fire. But my friend, God is inviting you into the secret place so you can encounter him, where he will change the way you think, feel, and choose. And you will discover the truth about God and the truth about yourself. For the reality is, every single person here today is believing a lie about themselves and about God. And that's why we come to the bronze laver, because we wash our hands and feet in preparation for true transformation. We are saying in our hearts, when we come into the holy place, we are ready to be changed. It is a prophetic act that says, God, wash my hands and feet. Remember, they washed the disciples' feet. What's under the foot is the soul, is a picture of washing the souls of mankind. God washed our spirit when we're born again, but there's a lot of soul damage that needs to be resurrected and changed. Are you hearing me? Because you can be born again, but if your soul is not healed, it will overpower and misinterpret everything that God does in your spirit. It's called a carnal Christian, and you'll never grow and prosper. I want you to notice about the holy place that as you walk in, see that one on the left? This is interesting, because as you walk in, just step back, as you walk into the tabernacle, the gate is 20 cubits wide and 5 cubits high. 100 cubits in surface area, yes? Yeah. But when you walk into the holy place, it is 10 cubits high and 10 cubits wide. 100 cubits surface area. It's the same Jesus, isn't it? In the tabernacle as it is in the holy place. But what is different? You are now about to discover a higher dimension of Jesus in your life. You got born again and there was one dimension, but now you're about to come into a whole new discovery of what it means to encounter Jesus deep in your soul. Isn't that amazing? So we say, Lord, bring us into a deeper dimension. bring us into, and I'm not going to share on this today, but as you walk into the holy place, you walk into a supernatural realm, because when you look up into the roof, there are pictures of cherubims. It is a supernatural world that you walk into. It is a holy place. And so I do that in my secret place during the day, at night. I come into that place and I position myself to encounter God. The bread, table of showbread, surrendering our will to His. I know you enjoyed that, having your will crushed, remade, remodeled. But it's something we need to do every day. Lord, wherever there are areas in my will that are defiant, where I value my own sense of justice and truth over love and relationship, grind that will and make it like yours. Where I value being right over being loved and loving, change my will. Conform my will to your will. Soften my will. See, there's some people here today, I don't know who you are, but I felt God say during the week that your will is destroying relationships rather than building relationships. Soften my will, Lord. And as I eat of that bread, I'm partaking of the very nature of Jesus, His amazing will to transform me. But today I want to go into the golden candle, the golden lampstand, which is an amazing aspect of the secret place. So we're going to discover the truth about our will, about our mind, and about our emotions. There we go. There's the golden lampstand, and you can see that in Exodus 25, 31 to 40. This lampstand was made out of one solid piece of gold, hammered and shaped into the pattern that God desired. There are seven branches, and then you see at the very top, each branch has a lampstand, each having a cup with olive oil that's placed in there, and a wick that was made from the leftovers or the retired priest's garment. They would make a linen wick, and they would place it in that pot, and it would burn. It was the only source of light in the holy place. There are seven branches, and the main one, it doesn't show, there are different pictures of the lampstand, but the main one was slightly higher, and it was the center shaft. It was different to all the other shafts. And it's a picture of Jesus of being the center shaft. There are seven, six is the number of man, and the center shaft is Jesus, who is the light, the revealer of God to mankind. It's interesting that on the first day of creation, there is light in the world, but no sun and no moon. The light is the glory of the Lord. It's the first day is the middle candlestick. But it's also interesting that it's on the fourth day that God makes the sun and the moon. One, two, three, four. You come back to Jesus again. So he's a picture of revelation to all mankind. Now, as you look on the branches, you will see that there are golden almonds, flowers, and buds. Exodus 25, 31 to 33 talks about that. The central shaft has four sets of buds, flowers, and almonds. And the other shafts have three sets of those. Now, this is really interesting because when you add that up, each shaft has three sets of threes. Three sets of three make nine. Three times nine is 27. 27 and 12 equals 39. So 12 is the center shaft. Listen carefully. So those three on the left and the one in the middle equal 39. There are 39 books in the Old Testament. Jesus is the one that fulfills the Old Testament. That center shaft is the end of the Old Covenant. He fulfills that. And then you have three on the right, which are 27, which is a picture of the New Covenant. Everything about this golden lampstand is a picture of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit hovering above the Word of God, bringing light and revelation. The Word of God that you read is not a textbook. It's not a novel. It is breathed by God Himself, by the Holy Spirit. And as we come into that secret place, He begins to speak to us through His Word. It's not just letters on a page, but it's life to us. Are you hearing me? Yeah. It's going to change the way that you think in the secret place. I want you to notice that there are three stages of the almond. The bud, the flower, and then the almond. Doesn't the Bible speak about 30, 60, and 100-fold? The good, the pleasing, and the perfect will of God. And as the Word of God, as we fellowship in that secret place, and we're meditating upon the Word, do you know what happens to your mind? It goes from 30 to 60 to 100-fold. God begins to bring the kingdom into your mind, and you begin to think like God thinks. That's what it means to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Listen carefully. If your mind is not recalibrated to think kingdom thoughts, kingdom language, then when your spirit receives from God, your mind will not be able to perceive what your spirit is saying to it. That's why there are so many dull believers. Not that God's not speaking to your spirit, but your mind has never been renewed by the Word of God. So when God speaks to your spirit, your mind can't take a hold of that and process that and understand the language of heaven. Are you hearing me? And this is what takes place in the secret place. We begin to encounter the Holy Ghost. He breathes on the Word 30, 60, 100-fold. And all of a sudden, something begins to shift in our life. And you, my friend, in the secret place, are going to get a mind upgrade. Jesus said, I am the vine, send a branch. You are what? The branches. Without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you'll bear no fruit, 30, 60, 100-fold. See, this is a picture of Aaron's rod that's in the Holy of Holies. The 12 tribes cut down 12 rods, so they all should die. Cut a rod down from a tree, it should die. But Aaron's rod, in the morning, it had budded, it had flowered, and had borne fruit. My friend, it doesn't matter how hopeless your circumstance is. It doesn't matter how twisted your thinking is, how depraved, how hopeless, how darkened it is. When the Holy Ghost comes upon the Word of God in your heart, He will transform the way that you think. There are seven branches, the seven spirits of God. The center branch is the Spirit of the Lord. Then we have on the other branches the Spirit of wisdom and the spirit of understanding. So as we fellowship in that secret place, the Spirit of the Lord's going to come and give you wisdom and understanding. Understanding. See, the more you fellowship with the Holy Spirit in the secret place, He's going to give you understanding, visions and dreams and insight into mysteries. He'll give you wisdom, the ability to take that understanding and know how to outwork it in our life. The spirit of counsel and might, The ability to receive divine one-on-one coaching from the Holy Spirit and might, His power and His resources. The spirit of the knowledge of the Lord and the fear of the Lord. We'll begin to understand exactly how God ticks, if we can. And the fear of the Lord, there will be a reverence for the Lord. This all takes place as we come into the secret place and we surrender our minds and our thinking to Him. So as I come into the secret place, I'm constantly praying, God, renew me in the spirit of my mind. Change the way I think. Because I constantly grapple, I don't know about you, with thinking powerful, strong thoughts, and then over here, thinking depressed, small thoughts. From believing for miracles, hundredfold, to believing for just barely getting by. Is anyone else like that? And there's this war in our mind because the carnal mind is at enmity. It's at war with God. There's this battle going on and God's wanting to set up fresh strongholds in your mind. You know, we are to cast down every imagination and thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing everything into the obedience of Christ. So God not only dismisses strongholds of the enemy, but He's building new strongholds of success and victory and strength. For better is it one day in the court, more prosperous, more blessed, more powerful than a thousand days elsewhere. I am on a quest for success. I want to be rich and influential and to be able to father a city. That's what I live and breathe for. But I need my mind renewed in a secret place, because when I come out of the secret place and I turn my back on God and I walk the other way, very quickly I'm into doubt and unbelief and negativity. So I come back into that secret place. Father, would you pour your oil again on the word? Let it come alive. Lord, when it becomes dry and barren, Holy Ghost, come and breathe on your word and speak into our life. Change the way I think. We have an illiterate church, by and large, who don't know the author of the Bible or the Bible. It hasn't come alive. So the only feast they get is on Sunday and then the rest of the week. This is not everyone, but many. They don't know what it means to come into the secret place with the word in their heart and begin to commune with the Lord until he changes the way that we think. And you'll never change the way you think in the secret place without the lampstand. Never. Almonds. Almonds. I love almonds. But they're the first tree that bears fruit, that blossoms in Israel. They're a picture of resurrection life. But they're also a picture in Jeremiah 1. God says to Jeremiah about the almond tree, I watch over my word to perform it. And he's telling us here that every time you get into the word and there's a 30, 60, 100-fold revelation, he has promised he will bring life to the dead places and he will watch over his word to perform it. And the more I read the word, the more conviction I get, Lord, that this is a holy, sacred promise that you made to me. And you said that you are watching over every promise to perform it in my life, and it's building more and more and more conviction in my heart. It's not just something that will give it a shot. This is the word of the Lord to his people. And his promises are sure and true. I calculated with my little calculator how much gold it cost to build this lampstand. And this is the one item that has no dimensions in the holy place. See, when you get into the word, there's no end. It's limitless to the way that you can think. He's saying, I want to take off all the limitations on your puny little mind. Sorry, no matter how clever you are, it's puny compared to God. He says, I want to increase the way you think till you see how I see. Where God sits in heaven and he laughs at the nations. And I don't know about you, but the more I watch documentaries and TV programs and see what's going on in the EU and Britain, and the more I think, I'm only being honest now, the more I think, God, how could even you do anything with this? How could you break through where there's so much corruption and so many things that are out of kilter and so much manipulation? How could even you do that? Puny mind, small thinking. Can a nation be born in a day? God, that's the challenge of God. Can you believe that I could turn everything around in one day? No, I don't. Okay, back to the secret place. Enlarge me. Enlarge the way I think. I want you to notice that on that lampstand, hear this, it's not a candle stand. It's a... What's the difference between a candle and a lamp? Candles burn by self-consumption. But a lamp burns via oil. And if you do things in your own strength, in your mind, you're like a candle, you will eventually burn out. Burnout does not belong in the kingdom. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. I don't care about all the theories that you have. The Bible says that those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, then youth will be renewed like the eagle. There is never a reason, one reason to burn out in the kingdom. Why? Because we are attached to an ever-increasing living supply of oil. The priests would daily come in. Do you know the bizarre thing? Is that centerpiece, it just didn't run out of oil. They really had to top it up. It was supernatural. The Jews say they can't figure it out. But after Jesus rose from the grave, that thing wouldn't stay alive in the middle. They couldn't keep it alive. It kept going out. But before Jesus came, that centerpiece, it would just keep burning and burning, and they'd come to top it up, but they wouldn't need to top up the middle one. It was supernatural. I want you to know today that you're not a candle that burns out. You are a lamp. You are connected to an ever-increasing source. And as you feast on the word, you are going to be renewed. You will not burn out in Jesus' name. You will not lose your mind. You will not go crazy. You will not be depressed. You will not be discouraged. Why? Because the word of the Lord is resurrection life to you. It will transform the way that you think. It will lift you above. It makes wise the simple. It brings light and revelation and understanding. It will make sense of your past, your present, and your future. 30, 60, 100 fold. Past, present, future. All shall be unwound in His presence as you read the word. He will make sense of your life. He will give you direction in your mind. He will give you a spirit of understanding. So the priest's job was every day, fill up the oil, keep the lamp burning, keep the lamp burning. Never was it to go out. And I want to challenge you today that if you truly are going to receive truth to change, it only comes in the secret place. You see, even outside the holy, they could look into the lava, the bronze lava, but only see a dim reflection. But as I come into the holy place, as I begin to look into the golden lampstand, I begin to see myself as I truly am. God's word is a mirror. It begins to show me things about myself that I refuse to believe. He transforms me. And I'm praying for every single person today that there will be such a passion and a hunger for His presence. I don't have to be prophetic to know this, that there'll be a vast number of people who, when you open up the Bible, it's just like mumbo jumbo. Let me tell you something. You need a lamp on the top of the lampstand to make any sense. The more you pray in the Spirit, the more you worship, the more revelation and understanding will come. I've got to tell you, I am not the sharpest tool in the shed. I have a very basic education. But I do know this. I know how to hear the voice of Holy Spirit. And as I open up that word, He begins to bring revelation. Sometimes I will read and I'll make no sense. Initially, I'll go to bed, I'll wake up in the night, and God's speaking to me and giving me revelation and spiritual understanding to things that I could never figure out. Every book that I've written so far, all two, they all have come out of, there's more coming, out of revelation, because I've opened the Word and God's begun to speak to me about my life and show me things I never saw before. And I've sat there and I've laughed. I remember places out in the public where I've been sitting on a park bench and God's beginning to show me strategies and ideas out of the Word. And I'm thinking, God, where did that come from? My friend, He wants to change your mind in the secret place. He wants to bring truth in your inward parts. He wants to change your will. He wants to change your mind. So the Bible says that we would have the mind of Christ. You think about that. That is mind-boggling. Pardon the pun. It is amazing that we could think and perceive like Jesus Himself. And this is our invitation in the secret place. I want to encourage you, get alone with the Lord. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. Come into that holy place. See, here's the thing. You want to receive revelation from the Word? Surrender your will. Abraham had to let go of Lot before he saw his destiny. You're going to have to wash your hands and your feet before you come in. That is a symbolic picture of, Lord, whatever you need to do and say, do and say. Whatever you need to adjust, adjust. Whatever it is, I give you my mind the best I know how. And we do that progressively, don't we? I give you my will. As much as I know how to, I do that. I commune with you. Change my will. I eat of your will. Soften my will. And then I come out, figuratively, of the secret place, and it gets tested very quickly. And then I come out of the secret place, and my mind, I turn the TV on, and it says everything opposite to what God said in the secret place gets tested. Then we go to the altar of incense, and my emotions are fueled, and then I go out and they're tested. This is the secret place. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand. If you can learn the art of transformation of the soul, receiving truth about God and yourself, spirit, soul, and body, you will set yourself up for such success. Let me make a wide statement. The failure of the church, of every Christian, is found in their inability to cultivate the secret place. You know, you've heard lots of reasons why the church is this and that. I'm saying to you, this is the issue. It's the development of the soul of man in preparation of encountering God in the Holy of Holies. And I suggest to say, just as a thought, not as a thus saith the Lord, but more time was spent in the holy place than the Holy of Holies. There's a lot of work that needs to take place in the way you think, feel, and choose for you to be conformed into the image of Christ. So I want to pray for you today, because this is not a trip on you to say, well, I haven't read five chapters. Listen, I'll say it again. The goal isn't to finish the book. Okay? Are you hearing me? The goal is transformation. If you sit on a verse for a week and are changed into his image, that's success. So I'm going to pray for you today that as you spend time in this secret place in the Lord, it's a place of worship, of surrender, but also of meditation in his word, that God's going to transform the way that you think. You are never going to be the same again. Some of these patterns of thinking are going to be pulled down. Many of you know that. You see a cycle in your life of believing, then falling into a hole, of struggling in areas of self-esteem and all these things. My friend, they only get dealt with at the root level in the secret place. If you don't discover the secret place, sozo will do you no good. And I'm not against that. Jesus said, you can clean out the house, but the enemy's going to come back and check you out. And if you haven't developed a secret place, I'm just using my paraphrase, he will come back seven times stronger. Why? Because you haven't built spiritual strongholds in your soul that resist the enemy's plans. So someone can cast something out, pray over you, but you've got to develop your secret place. You've got to posture your heart to going back into the garden. I'm one who's going to head westward. Westward. I'm on a pilgrimage to discover and encounter God in the secret place of my life, aren't you? Yes. So with all that said, I want to pray for you today about your mind and about a fresh encounter with the golden lampstand, the Word of God that the Holy Spirit's going to breathe on and make come alive in your life and transform the way you think. So why don't you just place one of your hands on your head, representing your mind. Father, today, I pray for every person here today that you would continue to renew their minds. I say over you today that you have the mind of Christ. And we bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And every mindset, every thought pattern that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ, we crucify now, and we say, come into alignment with the Word of God. I speak over your mind 30, 60, 100-fold increase. I speak enlargement, increase, stretch, 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 stretching to think the thoughts of heaven. Father, I bind every lie that's been set up in the minds of your people. I take authority over them now. And let there be an entrance now of your word into their minds. And I ask, Lord, that as they come into the secret place and they meditate, and ponder and read your word, that it would come alive. Holy Spirit, you are the agent, you are the author, you are the one that breathes upon the word. Speak to us, transform us, make it come alive, make sense of the depths of the kingdom in our lives. Breathe on that, I pray. Breathe on it. Let it be like lightning bolts going off inside us. For those who have never known that, let there be just Holy Ghost explosions that take place. You said you're watching over your word to perform it. Show yourself faithful and true in their lives. I ask in Jesus' name.